To what and how true that really is, I must tell Jesus. You know, someone said we mutter, we sputter, we fume, we spurt, we often get mad and our feelings get hurt, we can't understand things and our vision grows dim, when all that we need is a moment with Him. And you know, it is true in life, isn't it? There are times when we need moments with our God. In the book of Psalms 46 and verse 1, the Bible says to just simply be still and know that I'm God. You know, I know one thing, that all of us in our lives have trouble and strife. We don't like to disclose that. It's not something that we want to tell others about necessarily, but we all have them. There are always issues that are going on in our life. And we know that from the book of Job, when we read the 14th chapter, especially verse 1, 2, and following there, that Job declares that problems are part of life, aren't they? We all have them. We do, every one of us. And you'll never be able to escape the plague of problems in your life. But God gives us the tenacity to overcome them. He enables us to be conquerors, according to the book of Romans chapter 8. More than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Well, the trouble with trials are something that all of us have great difficulty dealing with at times. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about how we deal with it and what can we do. We all are resolved in our mind to know that trouble is going to be there. And Jesus, however, in the 14th chapter of the book of John says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. For you believe in God, believe also in me." Now, he goes on to reassure them that he is coming again. But what he is doing now at this particular point is trying to encourage them and to remind them that whatever trouble we have to go through in this life is not compared to the strength and the power and the victory that we have through Christ our Lord. We know that many of the troubles that we face in this life can be overcome here. But we know that there is a real victory that awaits us. And I think if there's a message from the Bible at all, it is this message: don't panic. You know, sometimes when things happen in our life, they do, you know, we panic about a lot of things. I mean, sometimes we panic when the washing machine isn't working, or maybe the dishwasher goes out, or the hot water heater suddenly starts leaking. Well, it could be a number of things. And so God says, don't panic. Sometimes we like to send up an SOS when we're in trouble. We like to send that up to God and say, God, get me out of this mess. And you know what? God doesn't always deliver us from the trouble that we face. David said, it's good that I've been afflicted that I might learn your statutes. But again, many of us hit that panic button. We all have problems. But sometimes people say, well, you know, my problems are much more major than yours. We all feel that way, don't we? It's kind of like worry. We always say, well, we never worry. We're just concerned. We don't like to admit that we are worriers and that we're overly anxious about anything. Well, in life, when we face our problems, sometimes it could be minor, but we make mountains out of those little molehills. And sometimes in our life, we get so frustrated about things in life that we think our problems are much more important than someone else's. And sometimes we just don't know what to do. We are so overburdened. Well, that song that Dwight led a moment ago has a lot of messages to it, doesn't it? When we are burdened, we know that God is there to bear our burdens. The Bible in 1 Peter 5, 7 says that we are to cast our cares on Him, for He careth for you. We live in troublesome times. We do. We sing that old hymn, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. But freedom we all hold dear." We don't like troublesome times. We don't. We don't like to face the day sometimes with issues that go on. Let me tell you a little bit about what trouble does to us and for us. Problems that scare us just might be God reaching out to save us. You know, I have seen a lot of people in my lifetime who were not Christians. And, you know, you try to awaken them with the Word of God, and you preach the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16, it is the power of God. But for some reason or another, people will not tap into that power of God, maybe unless there's some kind of issue going on in their life, like a death in the family or someone becomes gravely ill. And then we just kind of start reaching out to God. Well, you know, why is it that we don't reach out to our Father in heaven prior to those things happening to us in life? God reaches out to us in the midst of our problems in life. He does. You know, problems can do one of two things. They can either draw you closer to God or they can push you away from Him. And I'm afraid that a lot of times in life, people are often pushed away from their God through their problems, instead of allowing those things to become stepping stones that really bring us into closer communication with our Father who is in heaven. In the 14th chapter of the book of St. John, the Bible in verse 27 says, recording the words of Christ, He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace," now notice this, "I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Some people are tremendously afraid about what might happen tomorrow in Israel with the moving of the embassy there, the American embassy. And very well could happen, but I think that is in the will of God that that was to be accomplished. And I know God is in control of everything in my life anyway, and I can be at peace regardless of what's going on in the world. There may be wars and all kinds of issues that we face every day. The economy may collapse. I mean, that's happened before. You know, remember back at Y2K, and everybody was talking about, you know, when the year 2000 came, that everything was just going to go kaplooey. I mean, they did. Everybody said, all the computers are going to shut down. Your money's not going to be worth anything. You can't get gas at the gas pump. All those kinds of things. We just manufacture our own problems most of the time when God is saying to us, like He said to the apostles, "My peace I leave with you." And I will tell you tonight that that peace is still available to you and to me. "Fear not, for I am with you." We long for security and peace of mind in our everyday lives. We do. If you don't believe that, think about it. I'm not going to ask how many of you tonight have security systems in your home. Most people do. We have one here at the church building. And people have become so security conscious that we want to make sure that we are secure. We want to be secure in our relationship with our family and our friends, and in trouble and anxieties that we have to face in life, whether financial or emotional, whatever it is, we want to be able to know that there is a God who is with us through all of those issues in life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear," he says, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, calamity can come our way. I can remember through the years when we had, tornado warnings, and everybody was a little bit concerned about it. I can remember when we'd get down that hall in there, and I remember one year right after I moved here, I was actually up in the state of Idaho, Boise, Idaho, conducting a gospel meeting, and there was a tornado that swept over this little pasture area out here where Walmart is now. And it bounced over our church building, but everybody was so afraid that we were just going to be blown away. They were having a fellowship that night, and Mary Ann Rader is here tonight. I think you had a group back there singing that night, Mary Ann, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at a fellowship. And everybody was real concerned about it, and but God saw us through it. You know, sometimes in life, we forget that God is available to us 24/7. He is. And He says, don't be afraid. You know, the stars can't shine without the darkness. Now, there's a great analogy to that. You don't see the stars. If you walk out right now and you look up into the heavens, you won't see any stars. I was talking to someone the other night on the phone over in Louisiana, And I was asking him, I says, well, it's kind of cloudy here, but is it really cloudy there? And he said, yeah, it must be. I don't see a star. And so anyway, he flipped out the light and walked outside, and he said, no, I see lots of stars. But you don't see it until the darkness surrounds us. You know, in our times of trouble and strife, and we refer to those as darkness, a lot of times we never feel the presence of God until we go through those dark, dismal moments. There are problems that often come to every one of us. When you really open up our lives, you can really see those problems. Sometimes, as I said, we're so afraid of disclosure, however. But there's another thing. I think that bounced over, Marty, for some reason or another. I'm not sure what happened. We're having issues with this thing today for some reason or another. There it is. And that's a problem of fear, terrorism, economics, turmoil, kidnappings, all of these things you hear about all the time, crime, illness, death that has invaded our congregation this last week. And death is part of life. It is. But there's a third thing. Problems impact our lives. They do. It might be the loss of a job. We've had a number in this congregation through the years that have been with businesses for a long time and they lost their job. Maybe a lack of job. And there again, the security. Media always focuses on the bad things that are going on in life. And they try to shock you and bring you to the point of panic. And they try to traumatize you in your life and bring all of these issues right into your living room and your home when we're trying to concentrate upon God. That song says something about men's hearts are failing for fear. But number four, sometimes problems impact the church. Through the years at Crockett Road, we've had issues, as I guess every congregation does, but you work through them. You learn to get over those. People often stay away from worship. That's not the answer. The answer is not to forsake the assembly, but to come and find that comfort that is in God. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, David said one time when he was going through those dismal times in his life, and he said, there were things I just didn't grasp. There were things I didn't understand until I entered in, as he called it, to the sanctuary of God. And you know what? A sanctuary is just simply a place where you get away with God, isn't it? People often refer to their church building as a sanctuary, and I guess there's nothing wrong with referring to this as a sanctuary. There's no biblical word. Auditorium is not a biblical word. So I guess you could call it anything. You want to call it a meeting place. You could call this a fellowship hall. That's what we're all here doing. We're in fellowship with God. But when Jesus faced his greatest trial, I can tell you, he says, peace I leave with you. Now, think about this just a moment. I want to get back to that. Because when Jesus gave these words, he could have been at unrest, but he wasn't. I mean, he could have been tremendously anxious because he knows he's going to die. But isn't this something? Christ is the one who's getting ready to die on the cross. And he's trying to comfort the hearts of the disciples who are going to be left behind. You would think they would be trying to comfort Jesus through all of that, but that wasn't the case. Well, the Messiah is going to great lengths here trying to encourage those disciples because their hearts were heavy. And he said the same thing in the book of John, the 14th chapter, let not your hearts be troubled. In this world, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, you will have tribulation. Let me just ask you a question tonight. How many of you are tribulating? One? Okay. I guess this lesson is for you then, Andrew. Yeah. Anybody else tribulating tonight? You know, we don't ever use that word too much, do we? We don't like to think of ourselves going through tribulation, but we often pray that God would help us through trials. But there are songs that we sing even about trials and tribulations. But listen to what Christ says. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, It's going to come. It's going to happen. But listen to this. Take heart. You know what he's saying? Be at ease. Enjoy my peace. He says, for I have overcome the world. Now, that leads me to believe that Jesus had been tribulating as well. For he says, you know, if you're tribulating, you're in tribulation, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, what he's saying there, the deduction is that you can overcome the world as well, regardless of what you're facing in your life. Dedication, obedience, fervency to God does not bring exemption from trouble. It's one of the biggest mistakes, I think, that people make in life. And it really appalls me that all these televangelists will get on TV and tell everybody that if you ever become a Christian, if you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and you're baptized and you enter into a covenant relationship with God, you won't have trouble anymore. But that's just not true. Trouble comes to the non-Christian, but it comes to the Christian as well, doesn't it? Surely it does. It happens to all of us, regardless of who we are. And I'm going to tell you, Satan really works at trying to, listen, tribulate, if you want to use that word, those of us who are Christians. He does. Well, people out there in the world, he's not worried about it. He's got them anyway. But when people are trying to live the Christian life, the devil is working on you aggressively, trying to make you feel that all these issues that you're having to face in life are more than anybody ever faced in their life. But there's one great thing to all of this, and here it is. Problems can make us stronger. How many of you have ever felt that when you were going through a problem, that this is going to do anything but make me stronger? You think, oh boy, there's no way I can handle this. There's just no way I can really get through this. And, you know, people just don't understand. And, you know, never has anybody ever experienced anything like I've experienced. You know what? King Solomon said many years ago that there is nothing new under the sun. That tells me that people have been through issues just like we face today. They ever had financial issues? Yeah, obviously. They ever have marriage problems? Sure. They ever have problems with kids? Absolutely. They ever have problems with the government? Absolutely. Think about the Roman Empire back during the days when the apostles were preaching and teaching the Word of God. And Paul was even beheaded. As a matter of fact, all the apostles died a martyr's death. Now, John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and some question whether or not he died a natural death or not. But I know one thing, that many of them were beheaded. They were drugged through the streets of Jerusalem just because they followed Jesus. They were not exempt from the problems in life. But you know what? They made them stronger. The Apostle Paul knew hunger. He knew what it was. He says, I know what it is to be hungry, but I know what it is to be full. And he says, I've learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. He suffered need. Sure he did. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4. He says, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a great lesson, isn't it? Paul could have run away from his problems. Paul could have said, enough is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. If God loves me, hey, he'll just take me to heaven. And if he doesn't, I'm going to hell anyway. I'm just going to get out of this. Anyone can run away. It's just really, really easy, isn't it, to run? That's the devil's way, isn't it? But facing our problems and working through them is what we ought to be doing. Because then when we do that, we become stronger as a result. Sometimes people say, well, it's just out of reach. Seems like the more you try, the harder it becomes. And when you feel like you just got a handle on it, then it's just gone. It's out of the way. Well, life presents us with a stone or a diamond. And you know, in reality, you and I are clods of dirt. We are. We were made from the soil. And we can either be a stone or a diamond. You remember that old song, country music song? I had to bring that up. Yeah. But you remember that old song, some days are diamonds, some days are stones? Yeah, they are, aren't they? Well, that's the way we are. We can either be a stone or we can be a diamond. You know, a diamond becomes a diamond when it's under pressure. It is. And it's a wonderful thing. It really, really is. But number six, God provides comfort in our problems. He does. Now that to me is a wonderful thing, that we know we're going to overcome them. We're made stronger as a result of it. And God provides comfort for us when we're going through those difficulties in life. Faith is the remedy for anxiety and fear. It is. God says, do not be anxious. Listen to that. Do not be anxious. Look at the birds, Jesus says. They don't sow, but they reap, and their heavenly Father provides food for them. And he says, aren't you much better than those birds that are flittering around out there in the heavens? He says, don't be afraid, little flock. You and I are the flock of God. We're not a flock of birds, but we're better than that. We are the flock of our Father who is in heaven. And in John 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14, 16, and I will pray that the Father, that he shall give you another that is a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a comforter tonight, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us. And he brings comfort that other people cannot comprehend that are not children of God. How do you explain the comfort of God? You ever thought about that? It's kind of like the peace of God that Paul talks about. And he says it surpasses all understanding. How do you really describe the comfort of God? Isn't it something that you just feel? It's almost indescribable, isn't it? It is. In Matthew 5 and verse 4, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it does, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, now, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Now, here's the thing. He doesn't just comfort us for the sake of comforting us, but he comforts us that we might become comforters. Isn't that what he said? God comforts us with all comforts in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are going through difficulty in their own life by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. In Acts 9 and 31, when there was turmoil going on in the world in which the apostles lived, the Bible says that the churches were at rest. They were at rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, that is, respect. They weren't terrorized by God. And they were in comfort of the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? Listen to the rest of it, the last part of it. They were multiplied. You know what? The church grows when our faith is strong and when we realize that God works in us. True peace is in Christ. My peace I leave with you. In me you will have peace. The disciples were in great anxiety because of the death of Jesus. He was crucified. But Jesus appeared. They were afraid in a different way, but he brought comfort to them. And he brings comfort to you and me tonight. And the Bible says, be anxious and nothing. When you're going through those troubles, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord, Philippians 4. Don't let your troubles of yesterday determine your today. Yesterday is gone. Listen, today's a new day. We have to walk by faith, and we have to get up and start doing something with our life. Things that we have to remember about problems are these. Problems strengthen us. Problems create security. We should address the root causes of our fear and not panic. But then we should also trust in God through all of that. It's something that we have to do. Don't panic, which most of us want to do. In every cloud we face, and I want to close with this, in every cloud we face and problems we encounter, Jesus is there. He is. Every test can either make you bitter or it can make you better. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be able to be happy in the midst of whatever we have to face in life. And that's why I became a Christian many years ago, baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of all of my sins. It is the only hope that you have. It is. How do you go about taking your troubles to the cross? Someone said, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to Him, and He answered my prayer. Psalms 120 and verse 1. He is still the answer tonight. He is to all your problems. Whatever you have to face, you just have to turn to Him. We're going to sing a song of encouragement that Dwight has selected. And Jesus says, I'm not going to forget you. I won't. You know what? Sometimes people leave Jesus at the building and they don't take Him with them in their daily lives. I hope you'll do that tomorrow. And I hope you'll do it this week. And I hope you realize that, listen, when you go through those problems, just turn to Jesus. He's going to help you through them. You're going to get them, folks. You will. He is the answer. Let us stand and let us sing.